Aaron, it's listener Pete from Dodger, Wisconsin. Not sure when I ran out of time, but I will support you because Eric, motherfucking Eric.
Hello and welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
I'm not joking around here.
This is episode 88.
Woo!
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I am dangerous.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes once a week. Right here from Dining Room Studios, high atop the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle, Washington. We've got a great show planned for you today, folks. Let's see. Round table of very, very funny guys, all from Portland, going to be joining me in just a second. I recorded this earlier this week at Laugh Hole, Chop Suey. Let's see. We've got a laundry list here of funny dudes. Shane Torres, Anthony Lopez, Sean Jordan, and Ron Funches, who you may know from his stint on Conan. And also his stint on Portlandia. All very funny dudes. I was super, super impressed when I saw this show that they did at Laugh Hole last, what was it, Wednesday? It was fantastic. I was blown away. I was blown away by the comedy prowess coming out of Portland there. Also, Tristan Devon, a local guy, went up, just killed it. Just absolutely killed it. And then surprise guest Hari Kundabalu went up and did some, he was practicing, what, his 7 minutes for the new John Oliver special over there in New York. So he did 7 minutes. It was fucking fantastic. It was so good. So good. I'm really glad that I had the chance to talk with these guys, and we'll be sharing that conversation with you here in a bit. If you can hear the background noise today, that is the heater. Because it is really friggin' cold. It's really cold in here. As you know, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that my windows, the seals in my windows are all broken, and it gets very cold in here very quickly. So that's what's going on here in Seattle. Let's see. A couple of things to get out of the way here. First, thank you, Pete, in Dodgeville, Wisconsin, listener Pete, for calling in and giving us that great intro for everybody to hear there. And if you guys want to give us a call and leave us a voicemail, you can call us 609-232-BOOM. That's 609-232-BOOM. Give us a ring, leave us a voicemail. Try not to swear in it. No, you know, no worries, no worries, Pete. You didn't know, man. But try not to swear, because we want to start putting these as the intros to the show. The show has been doing very well lately. We've been doing well in Stitcher, which is a great app for your smartphones. Go and check that out. Constantly getting on the What's Hot list up there. And also doing very well in the iTunes charts. Today, let's see, we were featured at, I think, 118th today on the iTunes charts out of the top 200 in the comedy category, which is pretty rad. Also, we're still featured in the new and noteworthy section. So go and you know, subscribe to the show. And like I said, that last episode, wow, I'm having trouble getting my words out today. But as I said in the last episode, please remember to go and rate the show, subscribe to it in iTunes, and just give us a little star rating. Only takes a couple seconds of your time, so please remember to do that. And it will continue in helping us get great guests for you guys to enjoy each week. So there you go. And also, last bit of house cleaning. I swear to God, we're going to be working on the website here and making it a lot more user-friendly, and we've got some great ideas bestowed on us by... let's see, our web guru, Sam Sahonis, who is doing fantastic things for us there on the interwebs. And we're going to be revealing this new kind of thing that that we hope you guys will be into as well pretty soon. So be ready for that. Let's get into the show, shall we? So there was one thing that happened to me last weekend that that really kind of changed things. It was a game changer, definitely. I was out with Thunder from the Stack of Dimes podcast having a great night. We went to the Neptune and saw the Lonely Forest play and also the Black Whales, both bands, which you can hear on this very podcast. So I suggest that you go and check that out in our archives. We came back up to Greenwood, and I was witness to somebody, a man, a 32-year-old man, get hit by a car. And it was a very surreal moment, if you can imagine. I'm not going to get into all the gory details, of course, because it was I could get quite graphic in this story, but I don't really see the need to do that. But it was an eye-opening experience for two reasons. One, I had crossed the street about 4 seconds prior to this man who walked out in front of this car. And I witnessed the whole thing, but as I looked back on it, when I got home that night, I was like, whoa, that could have been me. Four seconds later, if I would have crossed the street 4 seconds later, that would have been me that got hit by that car. Or it could have been, had I not been, looking both ways before I crossed. And that kind of put me in a weird spot. When I got home, I was very very emotional, and Mairead kind of had to console me a bit for obvious reasons. It was a very graphic scene, and I was kind of the dude first there, you know. And had to kind of be down there with the guy on the road and make sure he stayed conscious and all that stuff. Who could be calling me at this moment? Yeah, it was a very disturbing experience. And the second thing that it made me realize was just how one thing that you do can change your life forever. And I know that this isn't like a poignant speech or anything like that, or if it's, you know, it's nothing new, right? I'm not trying to be some philosophical dude here who is bestowing this newfound knowledge on all of you that are listening to this, but I feel the need to talk about this because it was a life-changing moment for me, life-changing experience. And that second thing that it made me think was, wow, one mistake could end everything as you know it, right? Just shows you how fragile we are as humans. And so I will take that to the grave with me. That feeling, that knowledge of one mistake can change everything. And I will definitely always look both ways before I cross the street. And I know that sounds like some lesson that your mother taught you at the age of 4, but it has serious, serious consequences, people. Serious consequences. And for both parties, you know, I talked to the driver. She was totally sober and just totally beside herself. So remember that. Remember that. Two lives ruined, one night, in one split-second decision. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, let's get out of the depressing stuff. We're going to go and talk to our Portland roundtable here. And we're going to be featuring music today by the band Deep Sea Diver, which, Jessica Dobson, the lead guitar player and singer-songwriter for this band, is also the new guitar player for the Shins, and she was on Saturday Night Live last night. So that's pretty sweet, right? So go and check that out. Also, check out Deep Sea Diver. They've got this new album called, History Speaks. And you should definitely get that because it's fantastic. Every song on here is totally worth your money. So check that out. This is You Go Running by Deep Sea Diver. And we'll be right back in just a moment with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Enjoy, everybody. We're here at Chop Suey at Laugh Hole with a round table of Portland comics, Ron and Anthony and Shane and Sean.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, I switched it. Damn it.
See,
I knew. I'm going to get it wrong. So most of you guys, three-fourths of you, were up at the Wild Buffalo last night in Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah, it was a blast, man.
Show went all right?
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah.
For Bellingham especially. I've never been. I was really excited. It was good turnout.
Wait, you'd never played in Bellingham or
never been to Bellingham. Yeah.
Never been to okay.
There. Never been that north. It's a big deal for me, a little hazy from South Dakota, so I was stoked.
Okay. Right on. Yeah, like Anthony was saying, you can see Canada from the Wild Buffalo pretty much, but it just shows up as like a Mountie hat.
Yeah,
just in the background.
Sitting on the board of...
Well, welcome, guys. Welcome to Seattle, and thank you so much for joining me here. So let's find out a little bit about you guys. Ron, let's start with you.
Yeah.
How long you been doing comedy?
Maybe about 5.5 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's going pretty well? Been featured on Conan?
I'd say that would be going pretty well.
Yeah. And were you on Portlandia as well?
Yeah.
Okay. You were like one of the guys that tried out for the baseball team.
I made the baseball team.
Oh, shit.
I didn't just try out. I made it.
Fuck. I better check my sources. Rewrite that Wikipedia page.
Ron Funches don't ride no pine. He plays.
Cork bat. Anthony, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Like a little over 2 years.
Yeah?
2 years and like 3 months, something like that.
And how did you get started?
It's a summer I've always wanted to do. Just started hitting up the Portland open mic scene. It's pretty much the gist of it.
I just
always wanted to do it, and my girlfriend had just moved to Germany for a year, and that was pretty bold of her. So I felt kind of bad sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I'm going to try something new too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you can do that? Yeah.
I'm going to get some life experience in.
So yeah, I just kind of went with that in my head.
Yeah.
And started doing it, and it's been fun. So
right on,
I keep
right
doing
on.
It.
Yeah. And you're in a circle of friends, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
Not really.
Acquaintances. Circle
it's
of
more games. Like when you band right, together right. with other tribes at the end of the world for survival purposes.
Right. Circle somebody, of one of these guys has a tube of toothpaste.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Shane. Sean, damn it, fuck.
Sorry.
Sorry.
You know when you say Shane, you can just talk,
yeah, exactly.
talk to Shane. You know?
That's true. This is an audio medium.
I go by Sean, so it's fine.
So how long have you been doing it?
8 or 9 years. It's been a while.
Yeah?
I moved to Portland 2 years ago, and it was a lot different because I started in South Dakota.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Being around all these guys, it's a lot different than being the only dude in town that does comedy because you don't know shit about it. You don't know, there's no motivation to write or get better.
Right,
until
right.
you have other people who are...
Well, you got the internet, though. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure
not,
you had
not
some...
Not there yet. There wasn't no, we carrier pigeons, man.
Yeah,
they
just got direct
comedy.
TV. How many escalators?
Yeah.
How many escalators?
3 escalators in the state.
Playboy, no,
that's,
shut up.
I'm serious, man. 3 escalators. The tallest building in that state is like 7 stories. It's the old U.S. West building in downtown Sioux Falls.
No shit.
So there wasn't a lot of experience. And I got to Portland. These guys are all ridiculous. So it really motivated me to do better, and it's been the best 2 years of my life.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And so what, I mean, what was doing open mics like over there then?
They don't have any open mics. It was just, they have
so
a comedy
club.
So
how are you, oh, just one, they just had a comedy club and people would come through?
Hmm. I had a comedy club, and I was in the comedy contest in town, won that, so I got to MC the club regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it. Just
nice.
I developed, like, I was comfortable on stage now, but that was about the only thing I got out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't get funny until I got here.
A lot more to make fun of in the Northwest.
No, not Vince. See, you know we're talking about South Dakota here. A lot of shit to make fun of in South Dakota. It's different. It's funny because all the kids in South Dakota try to be, like, there's hipsters in Sioux Falls, but they're not, like, Portland kids. Those Portland kids really go for it.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
go for the gusto.
Yeah.
The Sioux Falls kids are kind of, like, still... On the brink.
Like, do they wear JNCOs and shit still? Is that like a hipster?
Yeah, real tight JNCOs.
Really skinny.
Yeah, really tight JNCOs.
Really skinny Arizonas and shit
yeah.
like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Still kind of into the Insane Clown Posse, but not stating it openly.
I once
they're
paid to get into an ICP
show.
Yeah, man.
Money well spent there.
I can't, I've never been really able to grasp the hipster scene in Portland. It's always kind of...
Nobody can, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's a...
Don't try to reach
you can't grab
you can't
onto
grab.
That.
It's like very...
You can't
it's
grab
country,
the wind.
It's country bumpkin wrapped into, you know, kind of like
Well, there's that
Seattle.
Lager thing going. Is that lager?
It's whatever.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like
yeah.
it's kids being kids, doing
yeah.
whatever they
yeah.
want to do, so
yeah.
you can't really... Like, you might, you know, just see kids playing polo on bikes or just playing video games. It's just grown adults being kids.
Yeah,
and,
that's all
true.
I want to do.
Yeah.
Having kids of their own.
Yeah.
And playing with their kids.
Yeah. You're not a very judgy person, are you, Ron?
Not at all. Except for the people who are judgmental. I judge the shit out of them.
I will not make eye contact with you for the rest of this. I'll just stare at my shoes. Like the bastard I am. And now we get to this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, Shane.
Hey.
Shane.
Yeah. I go by Sean now, so it's
fine. Yeah. So, and you said earlier before we started recording, you've been doing it about 5 years as well, right?
Four and a half. It'll be 5 years in November.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And how did you get your start? What made you want to do comedy?
Stepped on a rake in his front lawn.
Yeah.
He just couldn't stop laughing at himself.
I've
happened.
Never been able to afford a place with a lawn. No. How did I get... I always always something I wanted to do, but like, I moved out to the Northwest about 6 years ago, and there wasn't really a scene where I was from in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And so... I moved up here, and I just saw a local showcase one night.
We're in Texas.
Fort Worth. Like, there's comedy there, but it's like, I didn't really know how to get started, and I kind of put it away. And then when I moved up here, it was something I saw happening in Portland. So I went to a show, and then I asked, like, oh, how do you get started? What do you, you know, asked a guy, and he's like, just go to this place, and, you know, there's an open mic, and that's when I got started. It's been, You know, it's been about 4.5 years, so.
Yeah. Well, one question that I always end up asking the comedians that come on this show is, because it's always been something that I've been really interested in, like, you know, everybody loves comedy, and I always, you know, had these delusions that I would someday end up as somebody who could get up in front of a crowd and tell jokes, but it just freaks the shit out of me. Like, I would never, now I'm 31 years old, I'm never going to do that.
Try it, man.
Oh, I don't want to. There's people that start
vomit in front of a crowd.
There's so many people that
some people make a living that way.
That's true.
But there's several comedians that are that started well into their 40s, like Portland.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all amazing or anything, but they are trying it and doing it. You know,
right.
And some of them have gotten really funny in the past 4 years. Not really funny, but.
I like how bad that compliment got.
It's like, oh,
you should do it. You might end up being mediocre.
That's what my dad said to me when I played football. He's like, you should try. You might be okay at it.
So and just jump in. Anybody jump in at any time here. Like, what were your experiences when you first started? Like, it must have been. It's got to be tough, right?
Yeah.
For everybody.
I mean, when I started, I didn't know about the comics scene in Portland, which is, I mean, it's grown so much in just the time I've been there. And by the time I never thought about searching comedy open mic in Portland, I just open mic in Portland, so I only found, like, singer-songwriter open mics the first 2 months I did it.
That's such a bummer.
But no, that actually.
Did you still go through with
it? Yeah, I mean, those are the only ones I went to, like, every night.
Okay. You had no idea.
2 months, I had no idea there was a real comedy open mic. And, like, you know, some of those were good or bad, like all mics, but I actually found that it almost helped me a little bit because people were less like expecting comedy. Like after listening to 12 shitty songwriters who were singing about whatever sad things Portland songwriters were singing about, and you get up there and you're like, I'm gonna tell some dick jokes. Yeah. People were pretty receptive and like
such a weird thing, but it's true.
They were just ready for a change.
Yeah, it's true.
It seems really brave. I mean, I know I started very similar. I was doing like just any bar singer mics, or I've done like Elks Lodge mics, or just doing coffee houses or Chinese food restaurant mics, and
like
you just
slam poetry mics, and spoken word and stuff. Yeah.
I did a hit
so really festival. wherever you guys can find it.
Yeah.
When you're
starting out.
It's like, I think. Like, I guess I got fortunate because I never really did that a lot. I never, like, I just, like, when I wanted to get started, I saw a comic that I'd seen before, like, on the street, and I was just like, where can I get started? So, like, where can I go to
get started? Like, mime or something? Or street clown? Who's doing comedy on the street? Man, Portland's fucked up.
Chris Rock that on the street.
Yeah. But he was just like, just go to this mic, and, you know, go do that one, and then they'll tell you about other ones. You know what I mean? So, like, I've done music mics before, but I certainly have spent most of my time when I started at straight ahead comedy open mics, which is like, it's fine, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It's a way to develop.
Yeah. Do you guys remember your first time?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
I was 16. Her name was Amanda Winkle.
I did. I was at work and somebody there like, hey, you're funny. You should do this a comedy contest in Sioux Falls. You should do this. I was like, all right, and I went and did it, and it was, man, it was so bad. I was so bad, not funny. I had a gray shirt on. I pit sweat above my pit line somehow. Like, it was real buck. And you keep doing it, I'm telling
wicking
you.
Wicking up, huh?
I did so bad the first time, but after you get off, you're just sitting there like, man, that was sick. It was so fun.
That was it.
Keep doing it.
Really, you're still thinking that it's fun after you bomb.
Yeah, because you get off stage and you're proud of yourself. You're like, I did it.
And you kind of realize, like, that's the worst it could... Like, it can be worse than that, always. But, like, after, like, the first experience, like, I mean, it's not super great. You kind of can get off and be like, that's what I was scared of. Like, that's the worst that can really happen to you.
Right.
Like, I can just do that.
Yeah.
I can do that every night.
Yeah. I go up there
for 7 years.
Yeah, and then you're up at the Ponderosa truck stop in front of 20 truckers that do not want to see you.
Did you do it?
Did you do that?
Yeah, I've done it. It's more than once. I was like, they give me a free meal and they paid okay.
Yeah.
I'm going back.
I can't ever get that kind of cherry work wrong.
How's the country fried steak there?
Oh,
good everywhere.
Yeah, good everywhere.
You can't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So who were your guys' influences then? Like, who I mean, was there a point then when you first were thinking about starting that, like, made you do it? From watching other people? I mean, for you, it was somebody at your work was like, hey, you're a funny guy. Why don't you go try this?
Yeah, I never really had too many solid, I mean, like, you know, Adam Sandler, Norman, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You just think are super funny. But it's
right,
like,
off of SNL
really
or something, right?
I've never really seen a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah.
So I didn't really even know. I just went.
I'm a big comedy nerd my whole life. Like I consider myself super lucky to be a part of what I call like the Comedy Central Presents generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like every weeknight, every Friday and Saturday, they would always air like four or five comic specials if you stayed up late enough. So I got to just watch stand-up constantly.
Those were cool, too, because those were before those people were starting to really break.
Yeah.
So you, like some of those, you would just be like, this guy's super funny. Like even if you didn't know anything about comedy, really, you could like enjoy somebody fresh you hadn't seen before.
So yeah, they
like,
definitely have a lot of people up there that aren't like household names.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff, yeah. Whereas like yeah. most people are just like, oh, you like George Carlin? You yeah. know, like that. They get or Pryor, you know,
right,
something
right.
everybody knows. Who are they're all great, you know, uh-huh. what I mean? But like to get a new perspective from a different a comic you've never heard before is wonderful.
Right, so. Right. Did you guys own any albums?
Yeah, I had a lot of comedy CDs.
I actually owned a lot of Red Fox albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Run.
You? I didn't no. mean I'm like you. I didn't own.
I think
me and you are similar in the fact that like I liked comedy, but I liked Lucille Ball. Like I loved watching I Love Lucy
mm-hmm.
and Benny Hill. They would come on back to back when I got off school, and those would be how I was introduced to comedy. Mm-hmm. And then I would, you know, watch things like Comic View and things like that. And back then I would like people like Earthquake or Honest John,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so like people who are entertaining, but not necessarily people that I enjoy now. Mm-hmm. So I've never been to a club until I went to an open mic. I think it was just something I always wanted to do. And then just had to work up the nerve 20-something years later to do it. So
right, right.
I have more influence now than I ever did before. Now I have a ton of comics that I look up to and admire, but comics people never hear of from when I first started, things like that. But yeah, never right away.
So do you guys like go to a bunch of shows in Portland and like just to hone your skills, like to watch other people do it or... How does that work?
Gotta be around comedy almost every night. I'm around.
I can't. I don't know what to do if I'm not doing it. Really. Like I don't have. I don't mean this in my usual pathetic way, but I don't have a whole lot of else going on in my life. I miss you so much. No, I'm sorry. No, I mean
Sarah, come back.
It takes your whole life up.
It does. Like, I mean, I just, I don't know what else to do if I'm not doing comedy. Like,
right,
it's weird.
Right.
Like, I need to be around. If I'm not doing comedy, I'm usually hanging out with somebody who's a comedian, and we end up talking about it, or, you know, like, and the thing is, the more you're around it, the better you will get.
Uh-huh.
Like, and the more you do it, the better you get. Like, I did 3 sets last night, so, you know.
Oh, bragger.
No, Ron, no, I'm not. I didn't get to go all the way up to Bellingham.
Boys.
There wasn't room in the car for old Shane.
Boys.
So, Ron, you that's got to be hard, though. Do you do the same thing? You got a family, right?
Yeah, I have a wife and a son. They'll be here tomorrow. That's part of it. Like, we try to just spend time together on the road, and that's helpful. And other than that, it's just the balance and constantly... just going okay when she says this is the last time you'll ever go out, and then I'll go, well, you know, I have a gig next week, so that's impossible.
I love the logic behind that thing. Like, this is, you know, like you,
it's so
matter
of fact.
It's
very matter of fact.
Take the time to agree with her.
I understand what she's saying.
While you're in there getting an orange juice, look at the calendar on the fridge. Tell me what I'm doing Tuesday at 8.
Is not hanging out at home.
But it's got. Does it get hard for you?
Yeah, it's super hard. I mean, that's all I can say. There's no trick to it. It's just constantly hoping that she won't fucking tap out. That's it. Because I just keep going out more and more, and that's helpful, and bringing in more money, but at the same time, taking away from your family.
Right.
And
right.
It's just part of the sacrifice. There's nothing, and it's similar to what Shane said. It's just. I don't have any other options, so I don't know what else to do. So I'm just hoping, and I feel like I do have the right person with me that is willing to sacrifice just because they know that this is what we do.
That's right, it. Right. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish my wife was like that.
No. Great. She didn't hear this.
The whole of the podcast. The whole of the podcast.
You're in trouble, Aaron.
Edit. That's the point. She won't listen to this.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more to the Portland Roundtable. We'll be back in a moment.
Or especially with me having a family, it's just like they better both be asleep if I'm playing.
You can't just come in
true.
And plop down and say, oh,
yeah.
Want to pick up where I left off?
I gotta get back out in a couple days, so I need to get this game done.
look, I know we said we'd go see your mom, but it's like...
But seriously, honey, I really got to finish this level.
Seriously, yeah. They're going to destroy the Earth. What's going on here?
You that's never what I want to say. See your mother again.
You gotta sit down.
That's what I always say. That's what I always say to my wife, Maria. I was like, "Look, honey, I'm saving the planet.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what planet you're on, you're saving something in every video game."
I heard women are from Mars, right? Isn't that what planet they're on?
Oh,
good stuff, right?
Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah. Is that one of your bits?
No, thank God.
Wait till you see his act. Like that's
I can't wait to see this. Just talking to you guys, I'm really excited for tonight. It's gonna be good stuff. Good, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast. Well. Sitting here with the Portland Roundtable.
Ouch! Was that a cat?
That was just
the Air Raid.
Is that the Air Raid siren?
Yeah. I was about to hop under the table.
That does not sound like anything like the first time you did it.
Maybe the people of the internet will know.
yeah, they'll check it out.
Yeah.
They'll look it up on Wikipedia. Yeah. Maybe there'll be a link. We can put a link to the air raid sound on Ron Funches' Wikipedia page.
You can be that guy.
Yeah.
I want the air raid guy's coming to town now.
Do it. Hey,
I'm opening for Michael Winslow at the end of next.
Man, where did that guy go?
Shane, you're turning this podcast into an all-out hate fest zone.
I hate Michael Winslow, and if you're over 30 when you start, you're gonna suck.
I did not say that at all.
He said, in his defense, he said mediocre. He said you'll be
and
mediocre.
I didn't say that at all.
Mediocre is a gateway drug to being shady.
So take everything out of context, just like they did to poor Rush Limbaugh.
Topical.
Now you're defending Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, because you know how right-wing conservative I am.
I feel good for the person who downloads this 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Boo! He'll be in trouble again. Yeah, man, Looney.
Yeah. What are you talking about? The air raid sound doesn't change.
fest.
Welcome back. Holy shit. So we're going on. You guys are going on tonight because a couple people dropped out. So now there's
we fucking drug the shit net through the streets and got you dudes to fill in.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I did not mean that.
I hopped on this trip. I wasn't even part of this. Ron was nice enough, or actually Kevin. They were all nice enough to let us on, which is amazing. That's one of those things with comedy. You kind of have this unspoken, like, well, your homie's with Ron, he vouches for you, so up. And then we're not going to go up and do shitty and drag Ron's name through the mud, so it's motivating. You want to go up and kill it in front of new... And, like, tonight we'll have a new crowd. I know for a fact they've never heard my jokes because I've never told a joke in this city, so it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm stoked.
Awesome. Do you guys still get a little bit nervous?
I always
before
get
you? Before you go on?
Every time.
Is this taking the edge off at least a little bit?
No. No, because now it's just going to hit me harder.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had your time.
I'm going to have hours worth of worrying to get through in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That's the best statement I've ever heard. I don't know. Hours worth of worry to get through in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my God.
I worry about me blowing it. Like, that's a part of it. But there's so many variables. Like what if there's, like...
someone talking shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. But my brain, like, thinks that that's scary. But, like, what if the stage collapses underneath me? what if a fire alarm goes
apparently,
off?
Like, apparently,
you worry about, like,
happens.
Actual, like, white so. Snake concert things happening.
Yeah.
I watched the fire alarm go off during a comics, like, I've seen that happen like two or three times. That seems like that would suck.
No, you know, it was amazing. Like,
I get, tell me if you guys feel the same way. I get less nervous when I'm in a new city and I know that they haven't heard it. I get nervous in Portland if I'm like, they've heard this before. I know they have. Yeah. Here, they haven't. So that takes away that part, that weird X factor.
Yeah.
Now you just have to go remember the jokes, which I've been telling them for damn ever, so, you know.
Right.
That like takes that a lot of the edge. I
know, but you've added a lot of new stuff in the past.
Yeah, well, that's not what I was kidding.
But
I'm just saying.
He still knows his stuff.
Yeah.
If they haven't heard it, take some of the edge off. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
I think for me, though, like, I mean, now that I'm, like, headlining these shows, is there's a pressure of, like, there's a pressure of, like, is anyone even going to fucking show up to even see me? And then there's a pressure of, well, if they did, I better not fuck this up for them.
You gotta, it's the pressure. Night. That's got to be intense. Like, I don't headline, but it's like to be the like. All right, now you have to bring it home. Like that's certainly gonna be tough.
And Ron Funches brings it the fuck home.
All the time.
If they didn't get their value by the time you get up. You got to give it the rest. You got to fill in the rest of that check.
Yeah. So you brought up Anthony. You brought up something about that I'm always curious about as well, is like dealing with like outside influences to your set. Like if fire alarm goes off, or the stage collapses, or you have hecklers, how do you guys deal with hecklers?
Well,
or do you
stage
have
collapsing?
To much
I think
anymore?
It would be the exception in terms of like
it's okay to end your set.
Yeah, I think the show's over.
You literally fell into a hole.
you really don't deal with that. That's for sure. Yeah,
you're talking more hecklers.
Like hecklers, you know, it's you have to. You know, make sure you don't give them the power at any given point. I think that's a big thing. Like, you always have to, yeah, it would be funny. You can't ever lash out and make them look like the villains.
Yeah. Well, that's a skill. That seems like it's a skill in itself, yeah. too, right?
To handle it the right way, I think.
Use the appropriate amount of anger because the audience can be on your side, and if you show them that you're angry or that you lost control, then they're all of a sudden they're scared. They're
like, you're not funny anymore. You're just mean.
Like Kramer.
Yeah.
But it's like. Some people do it really, like, Don Frost is really good when he gets heckled.
You guys know Don Frost, right?
I have no idea who Don Frost is.
He's
super funny, but, like,
you're asking the podcast audience, right?
Yeah, I was just fucking around. Yeah.
But Don's going to hear about this, and he's not going to appreciate it.
Either way, there's a
lot of comics, though, that just have that great tool set.
Some people handle it different ways. You can handle it.
I personally prefer to not. Like, some people like have that tool set and then love to show off those skills, and I think that's super impressive.
That's what Don does.
I like to think I'm more of like a freight train. I'm going someplace, and I really don't want to be stopped or derailed at any point.
Right.
Because I just, I can handle it sort of, but I don't have a lot of experience in it, and I pray to God I don't get a lot of experience in it.
Well, does it seem like, okay, so you guys have been around for a little while now. You've probably played cities outside of the Northwest. Does the Northwest seem like it's like the audiences are a little bit less heckly?
Yeah, Portland.
Well, I mean, I think there's just nicer people. And I mean, I don't mean to just pander, but like I was just in Boston for 5 minutes on between flights, and was like, fucking learn to smile, Boston. You know, and I'm from Chicago, and it definitely was more of a look, you know, who's going to try to screw me over in the next 5 minutes attitude than in the Northwest, where it's just like, man, I'm just trying to do what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to have a good time and live life, and that's how the audience seems to be in Portland and in Seattle, especially. Those are two of my favorite cities to perform in.
Uh-huh. A lot of it, too, is like the type of rooms you play in. Like, when you go to a different city that you're playing at a club, that's a different environment which it's, you know, a restaurant with live entertainment.
Yeah.
And people are there.
A lot different than the Ponderosa truck stop that Ron is familiar with, apparently.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just like there's great rooms in Seattle and Portland. There's great rooms in probably every city, but if you're going to a city to play it, you're probably working at a club, then you can run into your shitty crowd members or great crowds at any of them. But I definitely think that there's...
You guys want to weigh in on this?
Yeah.
Sean Shane?
I mean, they were going there. I thought he was going to make a point, not just say something stupid. I'm sorry. I love you. I don't mean that.
So much hate.
I am sad.
I started in South Dakota, and it was a lot different. South Dakota, super drunk. It's just a different way to drink. And you go out and do shows, and people will talk so much shit. So I learned how to deal with that pretty early on, and to not be a dick, but just to stop it. And in Portland, it's great, man. Everybody, they're just chill about it. I mean, they don't want to speak up most of the time. Yeah, the room you're in matters. If you're in a club, it's more policed. If you're in a bar, people look at it as such. Like, you got to be somewhere where comedy's first and drinking is second, not the other way around.
Yeah, right. That's a good
drinking
point.
Drinking is first, comedy's second.
That's real.
But it's, you know, you deal with it in your own way. We all learn to not be mean, and half the time it's fun anyways. Everybody just wants to have fun, and if some dude's going to pipe up, say you're not funny, he's already putting himself on blast. He looks dumb saying that because you're funny. So you just mess him up and then continue with the show.
You better not be right at the
time. Speaking from personal, I'm very confident in my abilities, so I have no problem with that.
Well, like, I mean, like, really, like, I started in the Pacific Northwest, so, like, most of my work takes place up here. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, this is, like, the crowds just want like, quality up here. Like in the other cities I've done, like, I've done stuff in Texas, Chicago, and, like, Salt Lake and some other places and some parts of California. Here they just want quality. Like, it seems to me, like, in other parts of the country they, like, want, like, specific styles of comedy. Like, I found in Chicago they were really aggressive. Like, the comics were very forward and just telling people to shut the fuck up and stuff. You know, like, if somebody was talking or anything.
Right,
whereas here the audiences don't really seem to... they don't seem to be chatty enough to where you need to tell them to shut the fuck up.
There was a couple here. Let's see. I think it was the last Laugh Hole with Pete Holmes. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of drunk kids out in the audience that just wanted to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, they were fans of his podcasts and stuff, and they wanted to be part. Like, notice me. Do you guys that's get that?
Worst. Yeah, because that's like, you can't... Those people don't want to be mean.
Right,
you know
they're
what
not
I mean?
Trying they, to be mean. They're just like, hey,
they honestly
I love you.
Believe the helping.
Yeah.
Right.
Which...
Right. Yeah. Or they feel like it's part of the show, right?
Yeah. But what other live
like
performance?
People, like, I've burned people and then see their friends high five. Like when you burn a heckler, they're like, yeah, he got you. You know what?
So they're expecting it.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a bummer
Great.
Seeing people deal with it. I don't deal with it because nobody knows who I am, but I have friends who you see they deal with that where it's like people, podcasts especially, it's very popular now.
Right, right.
So it gives this. When they get to go see you live, when you come to their city, it puts a face to the podcast, and so they're so excited. Not trying to be mean half the time, they just want you to notice them and look at them and like, hey, what's up? And then continue with the show.
Yeah.
And that, I'm sure, is with Pete. He's got a huge fan base.
Oh, yeah.
So people just want to be like at work the next day, like, yeah, dude, I love Pete Holmes. Last night he looked at me like he did. We interacted during the show and it was great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, that was a real treat seeing him too, man, because I had never, he came on our show as well. And then I had never seen his stand-up before.
It's
and
hilarious.
I was so unexpected, I guess.
Yeah, they do it,
you know?
Seems like they do it right here.
Yeah.
They get really good headliners, Mr. Funches.
Well, I'm looking forward to
I like
seeing
how you
the whole
the
show.
Cutest smirk on his face.
He's blushing. Well, it was great to talk to all of you guys. Ron, Anthony, Shane, Sean.
Sean Shane.
Whatever.
Audio.
No, I thought you were calling him Shane Sean, and I was going to be Sean Shane. So,
oh, I see.
Thank you.
I was just being a jerk. Thank you guys
you
so much.
You were being a jerk. You were wonderful. The one person he doesn't hate on the whole interview.
That's right. Should
well,
we? Should
got
we pimp
the media
your
power? Guys.
Should we pimp your wares here really quick? Websites,
Twitter. That'd be the best. I need more Twitter followers. Just at Ron Funches.
All right.
I'm at Anthony Lopez PT2, like all Anthony right. Lopez Pope 2.
Got it.
At Sean Jordan Comic. At Twitter, and here's the banger right here.
Say it. What's your Twitter handle?
What's your Twitter handle?
Lord Henry Higginbotham. No, it's at.
There's a big sigh.
Oh, I get to. After I say it, I get to explain why it's what it is.
Okay,
say it. It's pretty self-explanatory.
No, it's at Shane Torres 1000. At Shane Torres 1000 on Twitter. It's a picture of an egg. Not the egg they give you, but a different egg.
So, yeah, man, thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Looking forward to seeing the show tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Break a leg.
Yeah.
Is the reasoning behind it because Shane Torres won the 999 was taken?
All right, there you have it, everybody. That was our roundtable discussion with Ron, Anthony, Sean, and Shane. And like I said before, that was a fantastic show. I'm going to post all their, Twitter handles on our site so you can find them that way. I would really suggest seeing these guys live. It was so good. It was so good. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been episode 88 of the Air Raid Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And one last thought here. If anybody knows the man who got hit by the car last Saturday on Greenwood Avenue, please email me, aaron@air-raid.net. Let me know if he's okay. So that's it, everybody. Have a great week. This is Deep Sea Diver with NWO. And please be safe out there.